T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports gambling should be legal here in South Carolina. My name is Mark Ryan. I approve this message, and you're listening to Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Great to be here with you guys on a Friday edition of the show. You heard me. We are absolutely jam-packed today. We're going to be hearing from a sports psychologist at 1:40 this afternoon, Dr. Eddie O'Connor. What advice would he give to the Saints and Saints fans? What is Tom Brady's mental edge? We'll ask sports psychologist Dr. Eddie O'Connor that at 1:40. J.C. Sherbert of the Big Spur joins us at 2:20. Where exactly does South Carolina need to be in the recruiting rankings to have a shot at upsetting Clemson? You guys know my prediction on that. We also have a very special segment coming your way, about 100 minutes from right now. Summer, listener on the show yesterday, did the very best job convincing me to give NASCAR a chance. She's earned the right to host her own segment. She will do so at right around 2:54 this afternoon. All of that and much, much more coming your way right here on Offsides with Mark Ryan and Lonzo, ESPN Upstate. Here's how you can get a hold of us via the phones, 1-844-477-3776. That's 1-844-GSP-ESPN. The Health There text line. You guys know by now, we read you all of the texts here on the show, which you can get to us there at 71307. That's 71307. Start your text with ESPN. And on Twitter, at ESPN Upstate, at Lonzo on Word for my producer, Lonzo. And if you'd like to follow me, I welcome that at Mark Ryan on Air. That's M-A-R-C, Ryan on Air. Here is the truth when it comes to legalized sports betting and the state of South Carolina. South Carolina is listed as a state in which legalized sports betting is currently under consideration. All right, there's about 20-some-odd states that are leaving it under consideration right now. It looks like about 25 states are taking no action. And we have those are rough estimates. We have 7 or 8 states that have made it either all or partially legal. New York has partially legalized sports betting, but not statewide, and bets are not being taken just yet. Legalized sports betting is under consideration right here in South Carolina. And folks, the state legislature is deliberating on this right now, perhaps even as we speak. So why should sports betting be legalized here in the great state of South Carolina? Well, there's many reasons. You never have enough budget to do what you want to do. It is estimated, and this is such a conservative estimate, okay? It's estimated that legalized sports betting would bring an extra $16 million to the state each year. An extra $16 million. All right. I'm telling you, the real number would be a hell of a lot larger than that. OK. And the reason is because they have no idea the number of bets that they would have coming in if they actually did legalize this. Right. So you'd have a bigger budget in which to do the things that you want to do around the state. Right. New and better roads, more state parks, all of those things that you want to do, better funding for education, schools, etc. Keep in mind, I come here to you as host of Offsides, where I was most recently a teacher in Houston, Texas, in the Houston, Texas area. My last day as a teacher was December 21st. All right, that was my last day, right before the Christmas holiday. My last day as a teacher, I stayed there until 9 o'clock at night, finishing all my grades, and I can tell you firsthand about the about what $16 million would do to schools in my area to help out. I purposely chose to teach in a really underprivileged area because I felt my services could be of the most help there, right? So what could the state do with an extra $16 million? What could the state do with an extra $32 million, which in my estimation is a lot more along the lines of what the state would receive if they, in fact, went down that route? They'd be making a significant amount of money. What are the other reasons why sports gambling should be legalized here in South Carolina? Number one, I don't consider sports gambling to be something that is overly harmful to society. I don't understand the rules against it anyway. We are so beholden to laws from hundreds of years ago, and many of us are gambling on sports now anyway. It is up to each individual person, just like it's up to each individual person on any number of topics you could possibly think of. Diet, right? Putting the right things in your body, avoiding drugs. It is up to all of us to know what we can afford to do and what we can't afford to do. My personal gambling policy is this. I put $100 in a college football betting account off-seas, and I do it right at the start of football season, and that's it for me. If I grow the $100 to $400, now I have $400 to play with. But the only money I'm allowed to put in the account is the money that I put in the account before the first weekend, and it's always $100, okay? Last year, I won. This year, I lost my $100, but I lost it right at the end of the year. And whatever money I have, I always bet the whole thing right at one of the games at the end of the year. And this year I lost because I put it on Georgia to beat Texas, and I didn't realize Georgia wasn't going to show up in that game. I've learned never to bet bowl games again because, just like you guys saw with South Carolina against Virginia, what you end up doing is you're trying to guess which team cares less in the contest. But to me, honestly, outside looking in, there are far more pluses than minuses in terms of legalizing sports betting here. And I realize, you know, many people say this area is the Bible Belt. This isn't an anti-religious stance. I'm a Christian man. Okay? I mean, I'm a practicing Christian man. This is not a moral issue, in my opinion. This is something that is enjoyable. This is something that many of you are interested in. This is something that I've used to create somewhat of a following on social media because I have a track record of being pretty good at betting, right? Pretty good at knowing the lines and trends and who's going to do what and so on and so forth. But I think it enhances our enjoyment of sports, and it increases money for the state. And so, to me, there is a huge win-win here for the state of South Carolina. Senator Brad Hutto says, "I'm hopeful. To me, it's a missed opportunity if we don't do it. Quote, it's an opportunity to develop a new source of revenue for very much needed budget items we have in our state. Gambling revenue could help pay for line items such as prison staffing, teacher pay, and infrastructure." And other majority leaders are not in favor of it. Just because we can get money out of it doesn't mean we need to do it. You know, in the first 20 days of legal sports betting, the state of Delaware collected about $875,000 on the $7 million that was wagered. $875,000 more for the state of Delaware over the first 20 days. It's a moneymaker for the state. For guys like you and me, it means we don't have to do all this stuff under the table anymore. I don't have to look for an offshore site in which I can do my gambling. I could roll up right to a place here, potentially here in South Carolina, and put down a bet on a game. And that doesn't mean you get out of control with it. That doesn't mean you become addicted to it. You have to have self-control in so many areas in life, right? I mean, Tiger Woods doesn't have control of himself when it comes to sex addiction. How well do you control yourself? Can you put $100 in an account at the beginning of a football season, and then if you lose that, you're done? Can you do that? Are you the guy that is able to go to a casino and you got $100 to play with, and when you lose that, you're not hell-bent on trying to get it back? I mean, I think it comes down to self-control for all of us, but I think for those of us that bet, it's something that we would like to be, we would like to see be a part of what goes on here in South Carolina, and I don't think it's a big deal, and I don't think it's a really negative thing. I think there's a true net positive here for the state. So my question to you guys is this. Should South Carolina legalize sports betting? Should they absolutely avoid, like the plague, legalizing sports betting? Or should the state not be first in line to do this, but kind of take a wait-and-see approach? I'm proud to be a new South Carolinian. Did I say that right, Lonzo? South Carolinian? Is that what I am now? I believe that's what I am, right?
No, according to law, you have to live here at least 25 years.
Okay, well, now I'm living here, so I'm calling myself a South Carolinian. I will accept the handcuffs around my back if that is in fact the case. A bill has been introduced here. They're talking about it right now. What should South Carolina do? You wait to see what other states do first. Let them take the lead. Let them step on the grenade. This is not something we want to be first on. Or do you take the plunge and do you do it yourself? I think it's a win-win for the state. It doesn't put a black mark on the state. I honestly believe 20 years from now, almost every single state will have legalized sports betting because they will realize the financial profit from it. They will understand some of the detractions, but to me, it all comes down to self-control, and it's a moneymaker for the state. Junk food is a moneymaker for the state. Some people don't have self-control. How well can you control yourself? Lonzo, before we go to break, I'd like your take on my take that sports betting should be made legal here in South Carolina.
I completely disagree. I don't think that sports betting should be made legal. I will say it will happen, but I don't believe it should be because, I think you're kind of downplaying the addictive nature of gambling. And unfortunately, it preys upon the people who have weak wills and will spend their last dollar instead of feeding their kids to go bet on something and lose it and their kids go hungry. And the other thing that you said that I disagree with is the state making money and actually sending it where it needs to go, because that's not how it works here and it won't work that way here. They will send it down to Charleston. They'll send it to other areas to make pretty roads, to make nice bridges, but they won't fix potholes in this area. So that's how that works as far as money goes. That's why the lottery isn't really helping the kids, and I don't think gambling will help it either. But again, I do believe they're going to do it.
The people that have a problem with gambling in this state, I believe already have a problem with gambling in this state, and I don't think legalizing gambling will do anything to harm them any more than they're harming them. I'm a guy who's a casual gambler, okay? And, I'm not affected by it. You have to have a level of self-control to know what you can bet and to know what you can lose, period. We see you guys lighting up the phones. Bob, please hang on, 1-844-477-3776. What should South Carolina do about legalized sports betting? I'm saying they should make it legal, and they should make it legal sooner rather than later. Then again, of course, my name is Mark Ryan, and I'm Offsides right here on ESPN Upstate. You're listening to Offsides with Mark Ryan and Lonzo right here on ESPN Upstate. My take is they should absolutely legalize sports betting here in the great state of South Carolina. It would bring in massive revenues to the state that they could appropriate. Lonzo disagrees. He thinks it's a problem. He thinks there's an addictive nature to it, which is obvious. He also doesn't trust state leaders to appropriate the money effectively. I do. I think more money for the state would be a great thing. Goodness gracious. I mean, wouldn't it be great to have lower state taxes? I got hit with my first state tax today, Lonzo, that I've had. Geez, the last state tax that I had was when I lived in Atlanta 5 years ago. I've spent most of my life, let's see here, how many years in my life? Perhaps 35 out of 41 years in states that had no state tax. Right. And today on the first check, there was a nice little chunk to Uncle Sam here that lives in South Carolina. So that's an adjustment. I would like less of that money to be coming out of my check. And maybe if gambling is legalized here, less of it would be. Right. You're gambling. I'm gambling. But we do it responsibly. We understand what we can lose. Right. The people that have a problem with it are going to have an issue with it, whether it's legal or illegal. So my take is sports gambling should absolutely be legalized here in South Carolina for an added revenue stream, and because it makes sports more interesting and entertaining, folks. 1-844-477-3776. 1-844-GSP-ESPN is the number. Should South Carolina legalize sports gambling? Should they keep it illegal? Or should they wait and see what other states do? Right now, it is under consideration. Right now, your state leaders are deliberating on it. The articles I've read said this was going to be deliberated on in this very month. Okay? So the decision is about to be made. I've seen some senators say they're hopeful it will be passed. I've seen others say it's a long shot given the morals and values that exist in this state. And let me tell you, don't assume because you hear this take that I'm not a moral and ethical guy. Please, please don't assume that. Lonzo and I were just having a discussion on moral and ethics in the commercial break. But I have very good moral and ethics, okay? I'm a Christian man, and I'm saying sports betting should be legalized here in the Palmetto State. Bob has been hanging very patiently. Bob, thanks for the call. You're offsides. Go ahead.
Mark, I'm not offsides. Check the tape. I did not jump.
Oh, there you go. Thank you. Thank you, Bob. I'm glad. Thanks for getting back on site. If only D. Ford had done the same thing, Lonzo's team would be playing in the Super Bowl.
Look, I'm going to need a few minutes of your time because you are on something that's personal to me.
Okay.
And I'm going to preface it by saying you are 100% right. Lonzo is 100% wrong.
Thank you.
And this is why. I retired about, a year or so ago from what I was doing. And my wife told me, you can't sit on the couch and watch ESPN all day. You're getting fat, which I was. So you got to go find something to do. So what I did, I went to work at a convenience store as a assistant manager, and I'm running a cashier, whatever. Okay. And that didn't last but about a month and a half because, you know, but that's not the story. Here's the story. You would, in one little small store, you got 20 or 30 people, the same people. You know them. They come every day. And they're not the high-end people. They're low. They don't know me. I don't know them. So I'm just telling you what I know. This is a fact. They come in, and they go to the lotto scratch-off counter, which is like 20 of them.
Which is the only – which is – though lottery and private card games are the only gambling that's currently legal in the state of South Carolina. But, Bob, we got to move forward in the story here. What is the point you're trying to make?
What I'm saying is these people come in and spend hundreds of dollars every single day. They don't win very much at all. Okay, so they lose. You have some people come in, they just got one ticket, they win, they get their money, they leave. The other people keep buying tickets with it. My point of it being is lotto is a poor person's tax. If you have the poor person who says, I'm going to buy a $10 scratch-off ticket, he has a 50-50 chance to win. But that same poor person, he might bet on Duke and North Carolina, and he say, hey, I think North Carolina's going to win. I think they're better. He's got a better chance of winning. My point saying that is, Mark, right now South Carolina is doing it. They are hurting the lower-class people. They're killing them. And if you brought in gambling, sports gambling, into the state, not only do you make that better, but you bring in the upper level of people who's going to bet that's not going to hurt them, and you're going to make tons more money in taxes. Roads are going to get it fixed. I'm 100% with you, man. I've seen it with my own eyes.
Thank you. Thank you, Bob. Bob, I really appreciate the phone call. And here's the reality. I mean, don't you think this would absolutely get passed if they said, hey, we do this, we'll lower your state tax from, what is it, 6% to 5%? We'll lower that state tax for you. That would make me happy, right? And the reality is we're all doing it anyway. I shouldn't say all. I don't know that Lonzo gambles on sports. But, all of my friends do, and we end up having to, you know, do something offshore, something in the Bahamas somewhere, where we hope that the check gets to us. I'd really like to cash in my check right after the game, thank you very much. I really would. How about you? So I'm saying it would be good for the state. It would be good for us. It enhances the entertainment of sports. Many sports venues are now having places where you can bet live, just like the horse races, right? I mean, can you imagine going to a local sports event and being able to place a bet live? I'll tell you, one of the games that I won the most amount of money on this year was South Carolina being a 4-touchdown underdog against Clemson. And I said, that's a slap in the face. This team just almost beat Florida. And I put down pretty sizably on South Carolina, and I won. South Carolina was down between 7 and 21 points the entire game in the Palmetto Bowl this year. And I won big time on that. And I was really confident in that particular game. I think it's a net gain for the state of South Carolina. I understand that some people may get addicted, but some people may get addicted to Cheetos, right? You're not going to ban every single thing that people can abuse. Peter is up next. Peter, thanks for calling the show. You're offsides. Go ahead.
Hey, I was just calling. As far as legalizing sports gambling, this should be a no-brainer. As long as government, you know, our government leaders can go ahead and specify that that money's going to go to education for the foremost, with the struggle of what it is to get teachers right now, and then infrastructure, why not? Because gambling's going on already. We might as well capitalize on it.
100%, Peter, yes. Thank you for preaching to the choir. Please brainwash Lonzo to believe that, will you?
Hey, and while on legalizing, it's the same thing as you know, legalizing marijuana as well, too. People are smoking marijuana. We might as well get the tax dollars off of that as well.
Lonzo, I'll let you take that comment.
I don't think I need to.
I actually have a different opinion on marijuana. A different opinion. I will. How do I want to address this? I will leave this here, other than to say that years ago, I had a personal experience with that, which made me feel like it should never be completely legalized. Recreational use should never be completely legalized. This was many, many years ago in my life. Okay, and I'm gonna leave that be. Okay, let's keep it going. Let's get to Bill, who is up next. Bill, thanks for the call. You're offsides. Go ahead.
Hey, I'm on your corner 100%, Miss. They'll use the morality clause. If they were concerned about morals, they wouldn't have the lottery in this state. That's why they keep the casinos out of here in Georgia and Tennessee. And if it comes down to it, I think the real issue is every ball game, somebody's going to win. I mean, you might have a tie and they throw out the, you know, on the point spread and throw it out, but you're going to have a winner. Therefore, your profit base is not going to be at high because the gamblers are going to gamble regardless. I say legalize it, but I bet that's what the real issue is. Hey, we stand to lose any money. We're raking in off the lottery off of this.
Yeah, so here's the thing, Bill. Isn't it something how, like, when they see dollar signs, right, if they like the way the dollar signs look, suddenly the morality isn't a big concern anymore. But if they're not sure,
exactly.
If they're not sure about the dollar signs, then we pull our morals out as an excuse, right? You know, we don't know here if it fits our culture and values here in South Carolina. Well, I'm telling you, Bill, a lot of us are betting on games anyway. Does that make me a bad guy? Does that make you a bad guy if you throw down on a game? Lonzo says yes. It makes me a bad guy that I bet for South Carolina to beat Clemson. Lonzo, what's the matter you? Did you attend What's the Matter You University? What is going on? It's not that big of a deal. It really isn't. And all of my friends do it. And you have to be responsible. And it brings in money to the state. And in my money, Bill, this is a win-win.
Hey, can I add one quick thing?
Sure.
I've noticed over the years people bet on Super Bowls, and I've seen more than one or two fights, and somebody actually gets stabbed because they didn't pay off a bet. At least this way, the bet's getting paid off, so you're probably going to cut down on violence.
100%. There, you don't have to meet a bookie in a dark alley anywhere to put your money down and to collect your payment. You don't need to do any of that shady stuff. Everything is done right at the counter, just like a ticket counter where you purchase your tickets. Speaking of tickets, I was down in the boss man's office this morning, and he, I have tweeted this at ESPN Upstate.
So that's real.
That is real. Those are very real. Those are very real Super Bowl tickets that the boss man has in his office, and I've tweeted them out at Mark Ryan on air, and they're on also on at ESPN Upstate. Two Super Bowl tickets that are inside the building here in Entercom Greenville. What is your Super Bowl strategy? What is your plan? Are you going to try to get your hands on these bad boys? What is your plan to get down to Atlanta for the Super Bowl?
I'm going to break into that office this weekend. That's what I'm going to do.
There you have it. Steve, is it Sincroppy? Am I saying that right?
I don't know if I want to tell you how to say it correctly.
Well, thanks.
Maybe I want to. It's Sinicroppy.
Sinicroppy. Steve, yes. Sinicroppy.
He prefers the Sinicroppy, I'm told.
Okay.
He stole that from me because the Lonzo is me. But, you know, that's fine. So, anyway, it's
Sinicroppy. The Sinicroppy has him downstairs in his office.
Oh, see, if it's in his office, you're not getting in there.
I already was there. He showed them to me firsthand.
I mean, you're not getting in there to get the tickets.
I took the picture.
You're not getting in there to swipe the tickets, is what I'm saying.
No swiping the tickets.
He has a security detail, and they're mean-looking dudes.
But the Sinicroppy, if those tickets should happen to go missing, there is a tall, bearded man with long hair that is the age of 15 as a grandfather that I think is responsible for the theft there.
You know, that describes several people in this building, so I'm good.
Damn, it does?
Yes, it does.
Really? How many people work in this building in total?
I don't know.
You don't know? I would
there
guess.
The problem is,
my family asked me that the other day. They said, how many people are in the building? I was guessing, Lonzo, about 50.
It's probably more than that. There's a pretty big turnaround downstairs a lot of times. That's how it is in sales departments everywhere, because people get into sales and they get hooked up with other businesses that they're selling to, and then they end up working at those places. Happens all the time. I don't know. I think there's probably there's more people downstairs than there are upstairs. That's why I can't say. But I'd say there's probably like 25 upstairs, maybe.
25 upstairs, maybe 50 downstairs.
Yeah, something
maybe,
like that.
Maybe
yeah.
75 total
yeah,
in the building.
Yeah, 75 to 100.
Coming up next, we continue to be an offside show by bringing you an interview you really won't hear anywhere else. We talk to a sports psychologist next who specializes with football players, Dr. Eddie O'Connor. What exactly is Tom Brady's mental edge? We'll tackle that next. My name's Mark Ryan, and you're Offsides right here on ESPN Upstate. It's Mark Ryan with ESPN Upstate. Great to be here with you guys on a Friday edition of the show. Hope everyone has a great weekend coming up. It's really just my second weekend. The first couple weekends ago, I was moving in the moving process. So, you know, it's now I have a chance to truly get out and see the city a little bit. And when you're working during the week and really trying to get acclimated here, I don't have as much time to get out and see things and just take a drive. And man, let me tell you, this area seems like one of the best places to take a drive you could possibly be in. Last Sunday, I just took a drive down Main Street here in Greenville. Hadn't seen it yet, was blown away. Other people are telling me I need to head down to Traveler's Rest, need to visit the area by Furman University. The owner of Stax's Original said I need to swing by there, so I might be doing that. Lots of good stuff.
Wait. You're not going by there without me. I mean, you got to take me with you
I didn't know you wanted to come.
Well, yeah. I mean, come on.
You're absolutely invited.
I'm not expecting anything free. I just, when you try Stax for the first time, I want to witness that.
We will absolutely make that happen, Lonzo. Let's do that, my man. Stax's Original, which I'm told is right by Furman University, somewhere out there. So looking forward to checking that out. Hey, you know, perhaps the thing that is most impressive about Tom Brady is his mental edge. What does he do to get that mental edge? How is he always seemingly in the right mindset? How many times have you seen young quarterbacks, sorry for this, Lonzo, Pat Mahomes last week, not be at their mental sharpest when things matter the most, right? Pat Mahomes had his worst first half of the entire season in the most important game. Here to talk with us about the psychological element of sports, and we're excited to have this interview. He goes by the name of Dr. Eddie O'Connor, really kind of bringing us behind the scenes to talk the game within the game. Dr. O'Connor, thanks for making the time. How are you today?
Hey, I'm doing great. My pleasure. Thanks for having me on.
Sure thing. So, Dr. O'Connor, what would be your advice to New Orleans Saints players and fans. I'm not sure if you're up to speed with this, Dr. O'Connor, but they basically got screwed out of going to the Super Bowl by a really, really bad call, a bad non-call at the end of a football game that would have sent them to the Super Bowl. The city's upset. The players are upset. And a lot of times what you see in sports is there's a hangover effect where the team doesn't come out ready to play next year because they're still hurt about what happened the season before. Are you familiar with what took place in the Saints game, and what advice would you have for them?
Oh, yeah. I was sitting there, and I let out a big groan when I saw it, too, and I couldn't believe it. Went through all the emotions of just how exciting, just as a neutral observer, it would be. And, you know, really the thing where I've been getting a lot of questions about how do they get over it and how do they move on. And actually, I take the opposite advice right now. Like if somebody's family member died, you wouldn't tell them, okay, let's get over it, you know, 24, 48 hours later. Now, if you had a game the following week, you'd have to. But being that it's the end of the season and this hurts so badly, I honestly think that the best thing the fans and even the players can do is allow themselves to feel the anger, the frustration, the injustice of it all. And actually just embrace those feelings, because to invalidate it so quickly, to be like, okay, you got to move on, it doesn't feel good for anybody. And it actually can make it worse and intensify it if you don't validate and sort of justify that you have every right to be upset.
Well, I have my producer here who's like, get over it, New Orleans. And I have callers here that are saying the Rams were the victim of bad calls, too. What are you going to do, replay all of them? But I saw very few. I can't remember one single call in the NFL, Dr. O'Connor, that I felt, you know, directly prevented the team from advancing to the Super Bowl more so than that one particular call. So you're mentioning grieving, and you're right, mentioning allowing this team to grieve. And a lot of people talk about the stages of grief. And I think it's going to be a long time before they get to that stage three of bargaining, Dr. O'Connor. I mean, there's no bargaining going on right now. I think one thing that would help significantly is if Roger Goodell would come out and issue a public statement of some kind. But right now, the city just feels like they got screwed over, and the commissioner is sitting up there in his penthouse apartment in Manhattan with his head in the sand. You can't do that to the people of New Orleans.
Right, and you're hitting a number of excellent points. Like, I don't know necessarily if the stages of grief would necessarily apply in this aspect of it, but what I want to do is you can both admit the wrong, you can both look at the reality of what's gone on, and there's a time to actively feel bad about it. What's going to happen in the future and what are we going to do about it is a separate issue from the emotional processing of it. And so, for example, somebody can be angry, and there's nothing wrong with anger, but what you do with that anger, if you go out and start beating people up as a result of it, that's not okay. But if you're angry over some type of injustice, you know, there's nothing wrong with that feeling. And that's the difference. What we do about it, what do we do about this bad call? Do we, you know, I heard the lawsuit about replaying the game. You know, that's too much. You know, these are things that can't be justified. And the complaint said it's unfair. Well, it is unfair, but we don't want to just brush by and say, therefore, don't worry about it as if it didn't exist. But how do we actually live in a world or play a sport where unfair things happen? How do we come to terms with that? Heard you mentioning Mahomes earlier or Tom Brady. That's what these elite athletes are doing. They're accepting the reality of the situation, the good and the bad, and they're doing what they need to do to perform with the good and the bad, not despite it.
Fascinating stuff from Dr. O'Connor here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate. Doctor, I've got to ask you kind of an off-the-wall question. I get a random email from, I guess, people affiliated with you the other day that just said, hey, would you guys be interested in having a great sports psychologist on? And of course I said yes, but how did I get that email? Like, I'm still like, all of a sudden I'm getting emails from your office. I have no idea how they found me, how they found our station. I have no idea how your information ended up in my inbox.
I'm curious about that too, but I belong to the Association for Applied Sports Psychology. It's the largest sports psychology professional association in the world. They certify mental performance consultants, and I'm imagining it is their media group that realizes this is an important topic, an opportunity to actually educate the nation and anybody else who would listen about what mental training can do and the importance of the mental game. It's not just for athletes who are struggling or have problems, but rather it's something that we can do to enhance all of our performances, even when we're doing well.
And I love that. And Dr. O'Connor, speaking on that very topic, I think the player that exhibits the best mental strength, mental capacity, mental approach is Tom Brady? What is his greatest attribute? I think it's that he's always in the right mental state. I mean, it's incredible to consider what he's been capable of. 9 of the last 18 Super Bowls Tom Brady has played in. I mean, it's truly incredible when you consider that the NFL is a league designed for parity, where everyone is supposed to be 8-8, that Tom Brady and Bill Belichick have been able to have that level of dynasty. What is, Dr. O'Connor, Tom Brady's mental edge, as far as you can tell? What is he doing mentally better than everybody else?
Yeah, I agree with you. We are watching something that we may never, ever see again, certainly have never seen. And I, unfortunately, I don't know Tom personally, but from what I have read and from what I've seen, it goes back into the word that you would use always. What I understand about him is that he has that discipline on a daily basis. The man controls exactly how much he sleeps, exactly how he recovers, what time he goes to bed. Every food that goes into his body is with a purpose. And so he is so solely dedicated to preserving his body and training his craft to a level that even elite athletes don't always approach. And the fact that he does it better than anybody is why he gets those results. So this is something that he has developed over his career. People aren't born to that level, but he has nurtured it and developed it. And it is the discipline of what we had said earlier. He knows exactly what he needs to do. And I'm sure that he does it regardless of whether he feels like it or not, whether there's a it's easy or it's difficult. He just sticks sort of to the science of performance and does it because it's the right thing. And he'll minimize what he's thinking and feeling as a distracting influence.
It's really incredible that the brain has the opportunity to do that. Dr. O'Connor, whenever I have a big event, I always try to schedule the big event for later in the day because then I have a better chance to get sleep. For example, my first show here was a week ago Monday at 1 p.m. I slept the night before because the show was at 1 p.m. If the show was at 6 a.m., there's a 0% chance I would have gotten any sleep before the show, and then I'm not at my best or anything close to it when the show begins. I've always wondered how athletes get to sleep in a situation like the night before the Super Bowl. Because if you don't get sleep, how can you possibly – I mean – you're going to have blown coverages. I mean, I would, if I didn't get any sleep, I would be missing assignments, right? I would be having issues. Like, how do these guys, what advice do you give these guys on the night before the Super Bowl when your adrenaline is already ramping up? How do you relax the brain enough to relax and get some sleep to optimize performance the next day?
Oh, man, I love this question because you're bringing up something that actually isn't talked about enough, that sleep is actually our number one performance enhancer. So I have a number of athletes that come into my office and they want to do better. I'm looking at their mental game, et cetera. And one of the first things I check is, are you getting enough sleep? 8 is a minimum. It's not like what we need. It's a minimum of what people, adults need. If you're a teenage or collegiate athlete, you need 9. And people like Tom Brady and LeBron James, Usain Bolt, they're getting 10, 11, 12 hours of sleep a night because of the importance of it. So the first thing that I would tell the athletes before you do any mental skills training is you got to get your sleep up because the stuff that you're learning, the HGH gets released in your body as you're sleeping. All these recovery things go on. So the first step before the Super Bowl to do that is to actually recognize how important it is. And for a lot of my athletes, just the intention of preparing themselves to go to sleep, knowing what time, what do you have to cut out of your day in order to get to bed earlier if that's the case. And then the other thing is if you're unaccepting of the excitement that you're having, if you're expecting to go to a Super Bowl and not be nervous, you're absolutely setting yourself up for success. I think it's ridiculous to think that they're going to go in and be relaxed. You can actually perform with anxiety. And that's what I work with my athletes on. Isn't how do I calm down and get focused and make it act like this is just like any other game? Your brain's not dumb. It's not going to believe that. It's the Super Bowl. But can you imagine yourself performing with that extra excitement? Can you focus and just kind of let that nervousness be there, maybe even use it as energy? It's not about fighting what you're feeling or changing it. It's about working with it and staying focused on what's the most important thing. Quick focus strategy. If you want to win, you got to focus on what's important now. If you can stay in that zone, you'll be okay.
I love it. I love it. Focus on what's important now. Really, really, really good stuff. Dr. Eddie O'Connor is a sports psychologist who helps athletes throughout the country. Dr. O'Connor, your people didn't realize this when they reached out to me, but my show is called Offsides because I do kind of a different style of sports show where I love topics like this. So if it's okay with you, Doctor, I'd like to save your number and I'd like to bring you on again sometime.
I would love it. Call me every day if you like.
Dr. O'Connor, thank you so very much. We look forward to having you on again soon. Appreciate the time.
All right, my friend. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Yeah, so when Tom Brady needs to get rest for the Super Bowl, needs to focus on what's important right now, right? What's important right now? I don't know about you, Lonzo. Like, I have anticipatory anxiety, right? I have performance anxiety. I think something that's helped make me a successful radio show host is that before every show, I have this worry that this is going to be the show that I bomb and this is going to be the show that ruins my career. And I still have that like uh-oh feeling in my gut before each and every show that I do. And that help motivates me to be successful. That fear of failure help motivates me to be able to get a job like this, right? So when before I was hired onto this job, I believe it was Friday, December 14th, they had told me 3 days prior, so the 11th, I needed to do an audition for this job. And it kind of threw me for a loop because I wasn't expecting that. I thought we were already kind of past that point in the interview process. And all of a sudden, there was massive amount of pressure on me. I had 3 days to try to knock the socks off of the Sinicropi and Mark Hendricks here, right? And so I'm on the air, and that Friday comes, and I'm trying to relax, and I'm trying to sleep, and I'm trying to do my best show. And it was one shot for all the marbles, man. I mean, no pressure, right? One show to impress the boss man. Good luck. And fortunately, they liked the show, and I'm really thrilled to be here. But
I don't know. We were sitting there listening to it, and I was like, nah.
I'm sure you. That sounds like a very Lonzo thing to do. Did you listen to it at all?
Yeah, I wasn't lying about that part.
Oh, you weren't listening to it?
No, okay. We did listen.
You did listen. Yes. Interesting. I was wondering if you were listening at that particular audition. All right, coming up next, we have posted two Super Bowl tickets on social media that belong to the boss man here, which brings up the question, what do you typically do for the Super Bowl each and every year? What's your strategy? How do you roll on Super Bowl Sunday? We'll tackle that next. You're listening to Offsides with Mark, Ryan, and Lonzo. It's right here on ESPN Upstate. So yeah, what is your Super Bowl strategy? What do you do each and every day for each and every year for the Super Bowl? Are you a watch the Super Bowl at home person with no distractions? Are you a go to a Super Bowl party person? Or are you a go to the Super Bowl game person? I've never been to an actual Super Bowl. It's definitely on the bucket list. How about you, Lonzo? Ever been to a Super Bowl?
No, remember, I was going to hawk something or you sell were. Blood
the,
or something.
If
now
the Chiefs,
I don't have to do it.
If the Chiefs made it to the Super Bowl in Atlanta, you certainly were. I got to be on Radio Row for the Super Bowl a couple years ago when it was in Houston, and that was a hell of a lot of fun. And I thought Houston did a great job with the Super Bowl. But generally speaking, I'm a go to the Super Bowl party guy. Right? Whether that's at a local establishment, whether that's at somebody's house. And here's why. College football is my passion. The NFL is my pastime. I watch college football to get amped up. I watch the NFL to unwind and relax before the weekend. It's just a different level of passion for me. College football has it. College, the NFL is less so. So if it's a huge college football game, I don't go to the party. I need to watch it at home. I need to watch it in peace and quiet so I can yell and curse and throw things, right? But the Super Bowl party, I'm not really living and dying with the outcome. And so a party's totally fine for me. What's your Super Bowl strategy? What is your preference year after year? I think some of the best food you eat each and every year happens at Super Bowl parties.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.